Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, the editor of SearchCIO.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast on VOIP vulnerabilities, why firewall protection is not enough. I'm joined today by Zias Caravella, Senior Vice President of Enterprise Research for Yankee Group. Zias manages Yankee Group's infrastructure research and consulting. His areas of expertise involve working with customers to solve their business issues through the deployment of technology. Before joining Yankee Group, Zias was a senior engineer and technical project manager for Greenwich Technology Partners, a leading network infrastructure and engineering consulting firm. Welcome, Zias.
Thanks, Karen.
As I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about VoIP vulnerabilities. Zias will spend the next 10 to 15 minutes discussing the various security threats and how to protect against them. Zias, the floor is yours.
Thanks. I think it's VoIP security is really an interesting topic. I think it's security in the VoIP environment is a very broad term, and it can be used to describe anything from actual network security, which I think does impact VoIP, obviously, because now voice is riding on your data network, to more voice-specific things like protecting against eavesdropping, authentication, how to protect the IP phone. So there are general network security trends, and then there are also voice-specific security threats to look at. And so I think that is one of the reasons I think voice security remains such a challenge for many companies because of the breadth of it. I think most organizations aren't really sure where to start. If we look at VoIP adoption, though, from our latest survey, we know that about 80% of companies that we poll have used voice over IP somewhere in the organization. Now, that might be in one department, one branch, the lab environment, test and development, whatever, but it's about 8 out of 10 companies have tinkered with VoIP. However, only about 10% of organizations have deployed voice across the organizations. That is, committed the company to VoIP, bet the farm on voice as their long-term voice strategy. Now, when you look at that, the 80% number, you might think that VoIP adoption is very strong. If you look at the 10% number, you might think the adoption is very, very poor, but I think what that shows is that we are on the very beginning of this long march towards voice over IP. If we look at the challenges to VoIP and why companies haven't deployed more voice over IP, network security generally winds up, if not the top, in the top three concerns. In our last survey, it actually wound up the number one concern. 34% of respondents cited security concerns as the main concern about deploying VoIP. Interestingly enough, the second most common answer, 31%, was uncertainty of voice quality. Now, you might look at that as more of a network management issue, but if you understand that there are many security things that happen that can impact the performance of the network, which can degrade voice quality, things like denial of service attacks, worms, things like that, you understand that security can play a big role in not only guaranteeing the delivery of voice and the authenticity of it, but also the quality of voice. So I think when you think about security, think about it in two camps, one being performance and one being security, and you want to be able to address both of those things as it goes through your deployment. And there's actually a number of other challenges around cost and single point of failure and things like that also go into fall under VoIP security as well, but it is by far the biggest challenge facing network managers. Now, as I said, it's a very broad term. The threats to VoIP when you use the WAN or the LAN to carry voice traffic vary quite greatly, and what I'd like to walk through in the rest of this podcast is how you think about it, how you structure it, what you might do and what you might want to do. So I think the same process that you follow with security that you use to protect the data network from worms and denial of service attacks also protect your IP telephony applications. And for networks that have a reasonable level of business security, the value of VoIP outweigh the risk. So I think if you're sure of the security you have in the network, then you should go ahead and deploy it. Organizations, though, that can't protect their data networks, I think should be very cautious on the deployment of VoIP until they can. Many companies, as I mentioned, cite concerns about security as the key reason for delaying implementations too. So they get started and then they delay it because of VoIP. And I think these concerns are understandable given in most organizations that the telephony environment is the most mission critical of applications and most widely deployed and historically very reliable. So you're also fighting history when you deploy these things. I think there are some things that you're going to have, like things to protect denial of service attacks and things. But I think many of the recommendations for making VoIP secure are already proven best practices in data-only networks. So if you're a telecom manager, I think consult with your network manager to make sure that those things are in place. And I think this is because the expected attacks in the VoIP world are very similar to those that were expected in the data world. So I think, you know, much of what we've seen in the past we'll continue to see, but it will have a bigger impact on the voice network. In traditional data networking, attacks are targeted at servers, and in the VoIP world, it's no different. You have call servers and conferencing servers and media servers. In the traditional networking world, they're focused at the endpoints, and in the traditional networking world, that is known as a PC or a laptop or maybe a mobile device today. And then in the voice world, that is an IP phone. And in the traditional networking world, data world, that is the network, and also another point of attack. And the network, of course, is what the voice rides on. So as converged networks become more common, I think the attacks will be targeted not just at your Oracle server, but your IPPBX, not just at your PC, but also your VoIP handset, and then the network, of course, will follow. So two key issues I think that can, I mentioned that dictate extra focus in a converged environment are protecting, using security to protect against the real-time nature of voice traffic. So, for example, a DOS attack or a worm would increase network latency to the point where the voice traffic becomes completely unintelligible. And if you exceed that 125 millisecond barrier, the call does become that. And so you can even use QoS in a way to protect against it if you happen to get a DOS attack, but ultimately you want to stop it. Also, when you think of the new, so that's the performance side. And then if you think of all the new signaling protocols that are being used, like SIP and Megaco, to deliver voice, most organizations that adopt VoIP will introduce these new protocols into their networks, SIP being the most common one. And then there are also a number of proprietary protocols, things like Cisco Skinny, that augment SIP that can be used too. And by manipulating the different protocols, hackers can steal services, disrupt sessions, or launch other malicious attacks. So that would be the more of the protection side of security. So those are the things to think about. So I'm going to walk through the different layers that I talked about now. So first of all, I think protecting the IPPBX server is extremely important. So it is a server in your organization. It may be sold to you as an appliance, but make no mistake, this thing is a server with software loaded on it. If you look at what Microsoft just launched with OCS, that is server software that's going to run on standard, just on standard hardware. There are companies like Interactive Intelligence already that do that. So this is becoming a software game running on servers. Now, the same best practices and protection methods that you use to other mission-critical servers should also apply to the IPPBX. It's no different. And I find it interesting when companies don't do that because it, in many ways it's the same. So first of all, have a, you know, in for fire for servers, today we deploy firewalls, and I think firewalls are still needed with IPPBXs. The behavior of VoIP signaling protocols dictate the need for firewalls that are IP telephony aware. So it's not a traditional firewall that you want to use, but one that is SIP or H323 aware, and that these the VoIP firewalls can allocate these ports dynamically during a call setup. The firewall has to be able to scan VoIP messages and open ports for calls that are, you know, only approved by the call server. And when the call disconnects, the firewall must be able to close the session and all the open ports as well. And since most IPPBXs tend to use proprietary protocols today to speak with the family of IP phones at this port, companies also must use firewalls to support explicitly those proprietary protocols. Now, I mentioned Cisco Skinny being the most common one, but Avaya has their own proprietary protocol, so does Nortel. And many vendors will look at these and call these SIP extensions, but they are still proprietary. Over time, I think you'll see SIP become a lot more feature-rich, which will obviate the need for proprietary protocols, but they're still there. I think intrusion prevention systems are a must, network-based IPS. They complement firewalls. They use a network-based approach to protect IPPBXs against DOS attacks and other types of attacks. So the IPS that you use should be able to block all the different signaling protocols that are anomalous in behavior. So, you know, if you notice an overly large abundance of a, you know, maybe a voice protocol that you don't use, then shut that down. But an IPS system will do that much better than a firewall. And, of course, there's also host intrusion prevention systems, and these are a little different. It's similar to the network one, but it actually runs on the server itself. And I think what these do is they protect the server from some sort of intrusion that might not have been caught by the network-based device. So in a way, it's a little bit belt and suspenders, but you want to protect yourself the most. And these are things that are very commonly done in the data world to protect business applications. And again, I don't think it should be a whole lot different. Now, if you're using a hosted solution or an IP-centric solution, the access link to the carrier should also be protected versus using a network-based intrusion prevention system and a firewall as well. So keep that in mind, that if you're going to use a hosted service, you should protect that. The carrier may offer it, but if they don't, be sure to check for it itself. Now, the network was the second layer I talked about. And you want to be able to protect the network against attacks. And what you're trying to do with network security is preserve the real-time nature of voice traffic. And that's extremely important for voice, obviously. And this is where things like worms and DOS attacks come into play. And now you can do a couple of things to do this. And these are more traditional networking things, but there are security implications as well. So first things first, use VLANs. VLANs separate voice traffic from data network traffic basically putting it on a whole separate virtual LAN. This is only possible when using IP telephony handsets. I think when you use soft phones and things, that traffic goes to the desktop. Voice and data traffic gets tagged, unfortunately, with the same identifier. But you can put all your IP phones in a separate VLAN. And what this does is it takes all the traffic originating from the IP phones to the call server and separates it from the rest of the network. Now, in the event that you do get too much traffic, though, run QoS. So what QoS does, it'll prioritize all your voice traffic, or if you used a VLAN, all the traffic in your voice VLAN ahead of all other traffic. And what this does is it makes sure that it can't be overrun with bandwidth spikes from other different types of traffic, some of it being malicious, or even some of it being just normal business traffic, right? I was talking with one organization, and they had somebody who was listening to the radio on their PC over the browser. Now, that was causing a lot of spikes in traffic. This is where if you'd use QoS in conjunction with VLAN, the IP phones would not have been susceptible for it. The third thing that I mentioned the servers, the network, and the third things in a data network are obviously the endpoints, and that is the IP phone itself. I think most organizations will deploy a combination of IP phones and soft phones, and you need to think about protecting those. So from an IP telephony handset perspective, endpoint security, for the most part, isn't presently available for a lot of IP telephony handsets, nor do the independent agent-based systems that run on PCs exist for these devices. You'll see them over time. If you're making a decision, I'd certainly push the vendor on it. I know vendors like Cisco actually offer if you use an all Cisco environment, the phone actually has to authenticate to the network itself, and that helps with some protection. But most users don't actually use their IP phones to surf the web or download executables. So I think the risks to IP handsets is somewhat negligible, although be aware of it. And like I said, when you talk to your vendor, look at the roadmap for IP telephony handset security and authentication. When it comes to soft phones, what I would do is I would consider using best practice laptop security configuration on all my PCs. So using endpoint security software, you can use things like centrally managed personal firewalls and antivirus software, but you also might want to consider using some sort of desktop host-based intrusion prevention system I think what you'll find is soft phones are very sticky. Users tend to like them, and what you don't want to have happen is a user becomes so dependent on it, but then have something happen where they can't use it. A lot of people also ask me about encryption. I think the best protective measure against IP telephony eavesdropping is to encrypt the voice traffic, but you do it selectively. Eavesdropping, I think, in most environments, and the vendors that sell this encryption software won't be saying this, but it's somewhat overrated. I think it's unlikely in most environments. I think if you're going to tap a line, there are a lot of more interesting applications to steal data from, things like CRM systems, accounting systems, more so than VoIP. But if you are a government institution, maybe a law firm, a commercial bank, and you have to do this, encryption is the best way to protect against it. So, and really, it's no more difficult to protect your VoIP traffic, encrypt that, than it is any other one. So eavesdropping in a LAN-based environment is done using some sort of intermediate device. So there's this physical security element of this as well, that you want to make sure your IPPBX isn't in a wiring closet, but in a data center, and that any odd devices that you see are actually removed from the network. But as a general rule, if you already encrypt data traffic, then encrypt the voice traffic. If you're not encrypting the data traffic, then I don't really think you need to encrypt the voice traffic. And or organizations that use encryption should test its performance first to ensure that the overhead associated with encryption and decryption doesn't actually deteriorate the voice quality. So in summary, again, when you go about deploying security technologies in your voice environment, think about it like you think about your data network. In your data network, you have servers. In the voice network, you have call servers. In the data network, you have PCs. You have IP phones. The network's important to both. And I think if you take it from this approach, I think you can have a successful deployment. I think it'll help you prioritize what to deploy and what not to deploy. And like I said, if you focus on the things that protect against quality and guarantee of delivery first, and then maybe get to some of the other things down the road, like eavesdropping protection or spam over IT, that'll come down the road. But like I said, focus on protecting like you protect the data network, and I think for the most part you'll have a successful deployment and a successful rollout.
Okay, and on that note, that concludes today's podcast. Thank you again to Zias Caravella for speaking with us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.